All right, brother, we're going to be looking at Jonah chapter 2 this morning. But if you will, let's open by looking in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Begin in verse 8, Romans 5, 8. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Because Christ died for those given to him by the Father, he bore the wrath that we deserved. We have been reconciled to God because of that. We've been reunited with God. And we have received atonement. That word means at-one-ment. Reconciled. Brought back together with Christ. Now let's turn to Jonah. Book of Jonah. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah. The prayer of Christ in chapter 2 is a fulfillment of the scriptures here in Jonah, Jonah chapter 2. I'm going to read you a lot of scriptures this morning, and I hope to show you that this is our Lord speaking. As we're working through Jonah, remember in chapter 1, that's a picture of a child of disobedience. The Lord spoke to Jonah, and he said, you go to Nineveh, preach to them people, I want them saved, they're mine. And Jonah went and got the first ticket to Tarshish. He's supposed to go west, he went east. Fast as he could. That's a picture of us running to damnation. And we pay the price. We pay the ticket to go there. There's a cost to it. And the Lord sent the tempest. The Lord sent it. He sent a storm on that boat because those mariners on that boat were his. Jonah was his, and those seamen that's on that boat, they were his people. And the waves were rough. The Lord sent that storm to save those people, to show them something. Jonah really happened. This really happened. As Donnie Bell said, I told you that last week. Donnie said that I believe that Jonah was swallowed by a whale, and if the scripture said Jonah swallowed a whale, I'd believe that too. That's what the Lord recorded. This happened just as real as Christ came. Just as real as Christ calmed the tempest. Just as real as he bore the wrath. That's how real this is. So many times we've heard and we say that the Lord Jesus Christ bore the wrath of the sins of his people. And we say that without consideration. How little do we consider what that means? It's not, he didn't pay for our sins. It's not paying for a candy bar. It's sitting a light, nominal transaction. He bore the wrath of God for his people. God turned his back on Christ. God forsook God for me. For you that believe him. You he's quickened. And what little I think on it, and what little bit I can understand of it, it just pales into comparison to what really took place. What actually happened. What he actually suffered for my sin. For me. For what I am. We see there in chapter 1, verse 11, those mariners were on that boat. The Lord sent the storm, and those mariners said unto Jonah, Jonah 1:11, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calmed to us? For the sea is wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. Throw me into the wrath. So shall the sea be calm unto you. The raging sea is a picture of God's wrath. God's judgment against sin. What will it take for that sea to be calm for a sinner? I see the Lord's judgment, what He's going to do to me. What's going to make that go away? What's going to make it calm down for you and me? Jonah's a sign of Christ. He's a picture of Christ. He says, you throw me in and the sea is going to be calm to you. I'll bear it. It's going to be calm for you. Jesus suffered in our place and He consumed the wrath of God for His people. Verse 17, Jonah 1:17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. This is a picture of Christ going to the grave. This is a picture of Christ. So many people say, well, you believe in God, prove it. Show me something. If I could take my finger and pick a chair up and move it over to that side of the room, I wouldn't prove nothing to you. You want me to move more chairs? Our Lord told him in Matthew 12, those Pharisees and those scribes, those high-minded theologians of that day, they came to Him and they said, we would see a sign from Thee. If you're Christ, prove it. I want evidence. Prove it. And Christ answered Him. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, of Jonah. For as Jonah was in the 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. He said, do you want a sign that He is the Christ? Go read Jonah and watch what's about to happen. Christ told them, I am the Christ. Here's your proof. The Scriptures speak of Me from beginning to end. It's a hymn book, H-I-M, from Genesis to Revelation. It's about Christ. That's our sign. We have that sign today. Then the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. That word prepared means He ordained. He purposed a great fish. Now that happened before Jonah was thrown overboard, wasn't it? This wasn't happenstance. The Lord prepared a great fish. Christ's death on Calvary's cross, His bearing our sins, that was purposed, it was ordained by God the Father. In Acts 2:23, it says, Him, Christ, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, He was taken to Calvary. The love of a particular people, the foreknowledge, knowing, we looked at before, knowing's loving, before, that foreknowledge of God the Father through His determinate counsel. That's not a suggestion. That's a determinate counsel. He delivered Christ to His throne of judgment. It was ordained. It was prepared. Now here in Jonah chapter 2, we see Christ our Savior pictured in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Now if this was only a historical figure, if this Jonah was a prophet, if this was just a story about Jonah the prophet and that was it, we would sit back and say, what a lovely story. We can make some wallpaper to put in nurseries about this stuff and tell kids these stories, go to bed. That's just nice, isn't it? But if we can see this, the Lord gives us eyes to have insight to what Christ actually suffered in the just wrath of God, we have something truly to rejoice in. Something truly to magnify Him in. Now this fish was a picture of the grave. It was a picture of death. And it swallowed up Jonah. Christ was immersed in the grave and in death that we rightly earned. We truly earned. He said, Paul wrote to us in Galatians 4 and said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Christ came and obeyed the Father as a man on this earth. He honored the Father in all things and lived a perfect life, a sinless life, righteously for His elect, for those people put in Him, and given us His righteousness. And that perfect conception, that perfect life, perfect death, that perfection counted, put in our account and counted to us, imputed to us. He took our suffering and our wrath. And 2 Corinthians 5 says, He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made His righteousness, the righteousness of God in Him. Because He was made what I am, I'm made what He is. And because, just the opposite. Because I'm made righteous, He has to be made sin for me. And He has to suffer. Look there in verse 1, Jonah 2, 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord God, Lord his God, out of the fish's belly. In the first chapter, we see Jonah as that rebel, a disobedient child. Christ was perfect, but He was made to be us rebels, wasn't He? He took upon Himself our sin and our rebellion, and He willingly entered the grave for honoring God and saving of those vessels of honor, those vessels put in Him, and looking and praying to the Father always, upholding that moral law. We always, people bring up the law, and they say, well, there's a moral law, and a civil law, and a Levitical law, the Mosaic law, and all these things. That's the moral law. We have to obey God and believe Him at all times. Remember that first commandment out of Exodus 20, don't we? Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. That's no matter our condition. No matter what's going on in our lives. That's not on Wednesdays and Sundays. We are to honor the Lord, trust the Lord, and pray to the Lord at all times. While we're sleeping. Our Savior did that from the tomb. While in the fish's belly. You talk about a trial. When things come up in our lives. Well, I don't have to go to church this week because, you know, something's going on. Or I don't have to read this morning because I was up late last night, had to work some or something. While in the fish's belly, Christ prayed to the Lord. Verse 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. By reason of His affliction. Let's turn over to Psalm 51. We'll be looking back and forth between Psalm and Jonah a little bit this morning. We know that these psalms, they label some psalms as messianic psalms, but every psalm is our Messiah speaking. We know that. Psalm 51, look in verse 1. Psalm 51, 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to Thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of Thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against Thee and Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight, that Thou mightest be justified when Thou speakest and be clear when Thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and in sin did my mother conceive me. Well, people would say, well, that's not Christ. He had immaculate conception. He was born of the Holy Ghost. What? Yes, but we were made one with Christ. He bore our sin, each and every one of them. Not just what we are, but the individual ones. And we became His righteousness. That means what the sin we've committed since 13 minutes ago we started, Christ bore those sins for His people. He bore my conception. He didn't commit that, but He owned it, didn't He? I didn't perform His righteousness, but I own it now because of Him. We are required to repent. We're required to turn from ourselves. We're required to acknowledge what we are and turn from it. To denounce ourselves and to beg the Lord for mercy. Do we do that for every sin? Every time I sin, since I've sinned here this morning, have I turned from it, rejected it, and begged God for mercy for my sin? The millions I've committed. We don't even know what our sin is, do we? Look at those Levitical laws. That's been on my mind all week because we're going to be eating quite a bit. If you're going to obey the Ten Commandments, you have to obey the moral law and you have to obey all the Levitical law. And if you ever have a medium well steak, you just ruined every bit of it. We don't even know what them laws are. We don't even know what our sins are, do we? But our Master prayed for mercy on our behalf. He bore our sins. Look there in verse 9, Psalm 51, 9. Hide Thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Every day I'm required to beg, Lord, don't leave me alone. Give me a new heart. Keep me clean and pure. Looking to you. My master begged that for me. And back in our text in Jonah 2. Jonah 2, verse 2. And said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. The Lord heard him. The Lord hears him always, didn't he? We remember whenever Lazarus had died, Martha and Mary sent for our Lord, and he waited 3 days, didn't he? Waited a few days, and he went there. And they took the stone away from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. He goes, Lord, I commune with you always, and you always hear me, but because of these poor sinners that need to know that I'm the Christ, I'm going to say this out loud, and they're going to watch this miracle happen. That'd be something to see, wouldn't it? In Jonah, in this book that we have in our homes, Christ cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard him. You ever want to see that happen? Go read Jonah 2. We get a witness of miracle every time our eyes go across them words, don't we? What did he cry? The payment for sin was made. He's vowing what he vowed. Paying what he vowed. In Matthew 27, it says, And in the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was forsaken. God turned his back on him. And he's the one that did it. You who believe Christ, you who look to him for all your salvation, he's your only hope. God forsook God in your place. He did it. That sacrificial work of Christ and the act of divine justice on behalf of the Father took place for you. He did it. We saw this morning, but God. Salvation to the Lord, isn't it? Look in verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The Father made Christ to be us. And then he smote him over and over again. Christ did exactly what was demanded. And exactly what God's eternal counsel dictated. And all of thy billows and waves were cast on him. Nothing was held back. It wasn't a slap on the wrist. He took it all. Everything I deserve, and everything you deserve, and everything that every saint deserved, from creation to the end of this world. That's unfathomable. My sin's unfathomable. You multiply that by the grains of the sands of the sea. God Almighty must deal with sin wave after wave. He says in the Scriptures, without blood there's no remission of sins. He will in no wise clear the guilty. The soul that sinneth, it must surely die. And he's God. He cannot lie. He's just. He's holy. It has to be dealt with. Verse 4, Jonah 2, 4. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Because of our iniquity laid on him, our master was cast from the presence of the Father. I've told you that several times. Hell's not a place where there's a little bit of fire and a devil with a pitchfork and somebody's being mean to you. It's knowing every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You will know him. You will love him for who he is and what he did, and then you'll depart from him. And that worm that never dies. You talk about homesick. Spend eternity being cast away from God and knowing him and loving him and wanting to spend time with him and his presence not be with you. I am cast out of thy sight. And while in the fish's belly, while cast out of the Lord's sight, he says, yet will I look again towards thine holy temple. He still looked towards God's holy temple. as an obedient servant. In Psalm 5, it says, "The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest the workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple." 300 years before Jonah wrote his autobiography called Jonah, David prophesied this. Jonah came, wrote it, prophesied this. Our master came and said, "This is what will happen," and then it happened. Two or three witnesses. There's four. Here Christ is the obedient Savior. In full faith, in full hope, in full assurance, He looked to the Father's holy temple while bearing the full wrath of His judgment. That is true faith, isn't it? That's why we always say it's the faith of Jesus Christ that's given to us. It's His faith in us. Do you want your own faith? Or do you want this faith? If I was in that position, I would fail. Whatever I mustered up ain't going to last. Not that fire, not those waves. His faith. That's the faith we're given. Now verse 5. "The water compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head." He says this happened. It's not on just an outside. This is not as if. It happened to his soul. In the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord took those three disciples up there and He said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Watch with me. In Psalm 69, it says, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail when I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away." A man can't say that. We can't restore nothing, can we? I can build a chicken coop and it'll last till the first wind comes along. They compassed him about. In verse 5, "The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The deep closed round about me. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought me up, my life from corruption, O Lord my God." It says they're the bottoms of the mountains. He was brought to be a man. He was made the lowest in the kingdom. From his places on high, came down here to be with us worms, brought low. The bars of the earth, that's translated as jagged places, piercing objects. He was pierced for us. He must suffer and he must die. If Christ did not bear our wrath, every one of us are hopelessly lost forever. We know nothing of the wrath of God against sin. We cannot on this earth enter into it. And I'm thankful that because of Christ, my substitute, I will never have to enter into that. It'll never be experienced. But we do know how long it lasts. He said forever. Man's payment for sin, the debt I owe, can't be paid back to satisfy God. That's why damnation's eternal. That's why it lasts an eternity. Now, I don't know what technically took place. But I know that Christ fully paid in 3 days what would take every saint of His, every sheep that was put in Him before the earth, to an eternity to pay individually. He paid it in 3 days. That speaks to the value and the preciousness of the blood of Christ. What it accomplished. His person and His majesty, His glory, it's unfathomable. We can't enter into it. Verse 6 says, "Yet hast thou brought my life up from corruption, O Lord my God." Psalm 16:10 says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. That's where it says Christ was made sin who knew no sin. Well, how could it be effectual and really have? It's not as if. It's not pretend. He became me, but not see corruption. God said so. I don't know how he could become me, be made sin, pay my eternal payment on my behalf, and never be corrupted. But I also don't understand how this earth orbits the sun at the right distance, where it's not too hot and it's not too cold, and it's spinning at 19,000 miles an hour. I can't enter into that, really. It's hard to... How did that happen? How does that keep happening? But I go outside every morning, and I stand in the sun, and I said, well, it feels good, don't it? I don't understand how that happened, but boy, for a sinner who has no hope and no payment, that feels good on your skin, don't it? That feels good in your heart. That's understanding like a child. So you have to be like a child to enter the kingdom of heaven. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. We just, with faith given to us, his faith given to us, we believe, don't we? In verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came unto thee into thine holy temple. We know something about this person. We looked last week as this is a prayer of a sinner from Jonah's point of view, and then this week we're looking at it as Christ's prayer. But we experience something with this. We have trials, and we're made to remember the Lord's suffering. And that's why you and I don't faint. As the heaviest trial that we put on us, boy, we get down low, sometimes for a long time. And we're depressed and miserable, and then we're brought to remember our Master, what He suffered, just to slightly enter into it. And we say, well, that's nothing. What I've got's nothing, is it? That's why Paul told us in 2 Corinthians, for which cause we faint not. That's why we don't faint. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Our kinsman redeemer, that one that was akin to us, he was able to redeem us, and he was willing to redeem us. He willingly became sin. He willingly bore that wrath for his people, and he took the full punishment, all of it. And he says there he fainted. That word means it rolled up on itself. He bowed to the Lord, to the Father. He fully submitted to the wrath of Almighty God for sin in my place. That's required of us too. He didn't flinch when he took it. In Deuteronomy 27 it says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them. After we're given that long list of do's that we can't do, that proves Christ the one that did it, it says you not only have to do it, you have to confirm it. You have to agree with it. Somebody said, well, I kept the Ten Commandments, but if you did it through gritted teeth, it don't count. You have to confirm it. Christ rolled himself up. He bowed before the Lord. While our Savior was being smote of God, he did not resist that judgment. He remembered the Lord. And he knew that that punishment that was put on him was right. It was just. Now here's the God-man suffering for us. And the belly of the whale, the full billows of the waves, we see in verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. You look to something vain in this world, some act of us doing. Well, I have strong faith. Not this faith. That's a lying vanity, isn't it? You're forsaking your own mercy. Well, I chose him. That's forsaking your own mercy. He's reminding us that he's preaching to us while in the fish's belly. Verse 9. Here's what true mercy is. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that which I vowed. He didn't say, I will try to pay. I'm going to do the best I can to pay. Or I'm going to pay most of it. He said, I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. What did he pay? Himself. What was it that he vowed? He vowed in time past, before Adam was created. The Lord chose a people. That's what we read in Ephesians 1 last week. God the Father purposed a people. Christ said, I will redeem them. I will be their surety. Christ is the elect. He's the firstborn among many brethren. And he said, I'll be their substitute. I'll die for them. And he's saying here, I will pay that which I have vowed. And it says, salvation is of the Lord. That's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Salvation is of Jehovah. Now, as Jonah, as a sinner, we see these things. We say, Lord, I bow to you, and I declare, but God, salvation's of the Lord. Christ here is saying, I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. Thank you for doing this, Lord. I will pay that which I have vowed. He's the only one that can pay it. He's the only one that can bow it. And he says, salvation is of the triune God, Jehovah. He's saying, salvation's of me. Anything else is a lying vanity, and you're just throwing mercy away. Salvation's of him. Verse 10, at that, and the Lord spake unto the fish and vomited out Jonah upon the dry ground. That's where we'll begin next week in verse 10. But when salvation was accomplished, when divine justice was satisfied, when he bore everything that's unimaginable to us, the Lord spake to the fish and vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. We know that the seas, the Lord's wrath, that's his mercy. Was there any waves on dry land? Ain't no water there. It's done. It's gone. Not to be worried about. Not to be remembered again. And whenever Christ said, it is finished, that meant it is finished. That meant for you that trust in him, who don't believe in lying vanities, there's no wrath for you for eternity, for time to come. You're set on dry ground. Why? God the Father purposed it. He said, I'm going to make a whole people just like my son. He predestinated them to be like Christ. That means conformed to his image. Have his spirit and his image. Christ purchased us in this. He suffered the wrath of God. Gave us his perfect conception, his perfect life, his holy being, his spirit. And the Holy Ghost comes to us and reveals that to us. That's the whole first 13 verses in Ephesians 1. How does that happen in our day? I just told you. Has the Spirit revealed it to you? Does he work effectually in our hearts? Or do we hear that and say, Christ did everything, and then he just tells me about it and gives me a nature like his? Do we close our eyes and cover our ears and say, no? Or say, amen. I don't understand it, but that is wonderful. I want to learn more of him. And to see that, to understand that, I don't want to sin anymore. People say, well, the Lord abolished the law. There's no moral law, there's no civil law, nothing for his people. Well, then you go out and live like you wanted to. I don't want to. There's a payment that comes for me sinning. I sin enough. I don't want to sin no more. Can't keep from it. Only a new heart will beg for that. I pray the Lord gives it to his people. Let's pray together.